I was appreciating Dale's opening this morning about the beauty of living in Washington and just the gorgeous nature of changing colors and things like that. The reason why it struck me as funny is because yesterday I was in Phoenix, Arizona, and it was 90 degrees yesterday. I was driving down the road, and there was, like, sand and lots of cactus, but no trees. And, well, they're palm trees, I guess. But it was a very interesting thing to get on the plane, and it was 90 degrees, and then I landed here in Seattle. It was, like, 50. And I was like, oh, man, it's cold here. So, and I did want to take just a brief moment to mention something that's happened in the life of our community, and that is that this is Ted and Betty's last Sunday with us. They're going to be going to their winter home in Hawaii, and so we want to pray for them. And we all laugh and sort of lament about how difficult it must be to go to Hawaii. But I know that for Ted and Betty, they miss us here in Washington as well, and we miss them certainly. And so we pray blessings upon them and ask for God to be with them as they go to Hawaii. I've told staff parish relations to increase my visitation budget so that I can go and visit them in Hawaii. So we'll see if that actually happens. I'm not really sure. So our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of St. Mark in the 10th chapter. Verses 35 through 45. So hear this word that comes to us from the Gospel of St. Mark. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want for you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And Jesus said to them, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit on one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "Do you not know... You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 disciples heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom you recognize as, whom they recognize as their rulers, lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life for as a ransom for many." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you ever had this happen to you? You've sought after a goal, or you have agreed to do something for a neighbor or for your community, or you you kind of aspire to something in your life, and then find that when you start down the road that the path is a little bit harder than you thought. You're walking down that path and you think to yourself, wait a minute, this wasn't supposed to be this hard. And yet, as you start to walk down that path, you realize that the thing that you're aspiring to, or the thing that somebody has asked you to volunteer for, or the task that you've been given, or maybe the leadership role you've had here at Blaine Memorial, you start walking that path and all of a sudden you say, wow, this road is a little bit harder than I thought. And you realize that there are unexpected challenges. You find that your skill level is maybe not up to the task that you need to be able to do the job. You find that you kind of are struggling. You don't have as much time as you'd hope for to be able to do these things. Maybe this is something that happens to you in your workplace or in your home life with your friends. Maybe in your job you're aspiring to a promotion or something like that. Something that you're doing in the community, ways that you're engaging with friends and family, and find that sometimes it's a more difficult task than you imagined as you went into it. One time long ago, I had a leaking toilet in my house. The tank and between the bowl and the tank, there was a leak. And someone told me it's not too hard to change the seal in there. And so I thought, okay, well, I'll try to do this job. And so I started to mess with it, and then didn't have the right tool. So I went to Home Depot, and I came back, and I bought the wrong thing, and I went back, and I came back. And so I was doing this task, and somebody asked me, well, how did it go? How did your home job go? And I said, well, it was a little bit harder than I thought. And he said, well, it shouldn't have taken you long, right? It probably took you like 45 minutes. And I said, no, it actually took me 6 hours. And so I laughed about that because I thought to myself, I could stand up here without notes and talk to you endlessly, forever. But if you ask me to change a seal on my toilet, we're in trouble because that isn't going to happen, and it's way beyond my skill level and my capacity. Maybe you find that to happen in your own life. Sometimes you find yourself engaging in a task that you have a goal for, you're seeking after, you're striving for in your life, and you find that it's more difficult than you thought. That's actually what happens to James and John in the passage today. They are brothers who are disciples of Jesus Christ, and they're walking with their 10 other friends, and all of a sudden they step out from their 10 friends and they say, "Jesus, we want you to do something for us." And when he asks what they want, they say, "We want to sit at your right hand and your left hand." And basically what they're asking for is the perks of being the best disciples. What they're asking for is for this position of status. "We want to be your favorite on your right hand, on your left hand." Well, of course, the 10 other disciples, they're a little ticked off about that because they're, who are these guys to say that they are somehow better than us? And as they engage in this conversation, Jesus says, "Now, is this really what you want?" And they say, "Well, yeah, this is really what we want." And then Jesus tells them, "To sit at my right hand and my left, it's not for me to grant, but I will tell you something, that position is not one of status. It's not one where you get perks. In fact, it is a role of servanthood. It's being a slave for others. It's being committed to serve those who are around you, to be selfless in your actions, and to see a bigger picture where you're able to imagine yourself doing things that you could not even begin to imagine, but doing it not for yourself, but for the glory of God and for the work of Jesus Christ in the world. Are you able to do that?" And I think the disciples, and they were all surprised. All of the disciples were surprised, but especially James and John. They were surprised because they thought they were asking for a little status, and they were asking for perks. They wanted to take the expected seat of glory next to Jesus. And Jesus says, those seats, they are road. The road on those that it takes to get to those seats, it is a difficult road. It's not going to be easy. It's going to take even more than you can imagine. But it's important for you to know that where that road leads will enable you to serve God in extraordinary and miraculous ways. In lots of ways in our life, I feel like that sort of fits the model for us in our life. You've heard the saying, of course, "Be careful what you wish for, because you might just get it." That's what James and John had happen to them. "Be careful what you wish for you might just get it." But I also wonder sometimes if the saying should be careful what you wish for, because the road there is a lot more difficult than you think. If we aspire to great things, if we hear God calling us in vision and saying to us, "I call you to higher purpose. I call you to do a work for me in the world." The one thing that we need to know is that when we hear that call, we realize that that is not a call to status. It's not something that sets us apart from others to make us more special, because God places that call on everyone. But whoever steps out in faith, what we come to recognize in that is that that road is never going to be easy. If we desire to serve God faithfully, it's not going to be an easy road. And in fact, Jesus reminds his disciples and all of us that it is going to be a role of servanthood. It's going to be a role where sacrifice is necessary. It's going to be a role that's going to challenge us in all of our skills and all of our gifts. It's going to be a road that challenges us to think about the bigger picture, not just what serves our own needs, but what serves God's kingdom needs and what serves God's purposes in the world. So as we listen to this, the question that I would ask you is this: what is it that God calls us to do and to be in our lives, not just as a church, but as individuals as well? What do we aspire to be? What do we hear God calling us to do and to be in our lives? And maybe it is that as we hear that call, the challenge for us and really where we seek God's strength and God's wisdom and God's vision and God's courage is to be able to say, we don't always know where that road is going to lead. We know that it's probably going to be a hard road, but we're willing to step out in faith because it's not just about us. It's about a larger picture that God paints for us of the kingdom of God here on earth, and recognize that that kingdom is going to call us beyond our comfort zones, beyond what we think are our skills, beyond that which feels like it's just right for us, and instead asks us to step out on the waters, asks us to take great risks, asks us to move outside of that which is most comfortable for us. So if we aspire to be more knowledgeable about our current events in this world, then it's going to be important for us to take the time to study and to learn, to talk to others, to engage others. We can't just gather this information on our own. We have to go outside of our comfort zones and be able to talk to others in ways that are going to enable us to learn and grow in that. If we want to be people who are led by the Spirit, if we want to be spiritually grounded and feel like we're being guided by God, then we're going to have to be people who pray, people who read Scripture, who come to worship, who open themselves up to God's leading and say, as much as I know about you, God, I need to learn even more. I desire to follow, but I'm not sure where you're leading. And so show me the way. And as we open ourselves up in prayer, as we take the time to study Scripture, as we take the time to come to worship, we find ourselves more spiritually grounded, but also more Spirit-led in our lives. If we want to be good neighbors in our life, we can't just close the door and go inside of our house and stay inside the cloistered place where we live. We need to get outside the door and talk to our neighbors, to engage the people who are around us. That's not always an easy thing to do. But in many ways, if we want to be good neighbors and aspire to be such, then we have to step outside our own comfortable space to meet others. I've told you all before that when I moved to Washington, I didn't even know that I had neighbors. I moved in January, and I realized that I never saw anybody in my neighborhood. I was wondering where my neighbors were. Were there any children? I never saw anybody. Everybody drove in their garage, and they shut their garage, and I never saw anybody. And then summer came, spring and summer came, and all of a sudden, all these people were outside. They were washing down their lawn furniture and mowing their lawns, and these are people I'd never seen before. And I was laughing to myself about how difficult it was for me to engage them because I was so used to just driving into my garage and shutting the door and not engaging them, but realizing that if I wanted to be a good neighbor, I needed to spend the time to engage with them, to learn their lives, to allow them to into my life, and know that that was, for me, a difficult thing, but a challenge that I live with each day. As we think about that in the context of our church, what is it that you believe that God aspires us to be as a church? Are we a church that is welcoming? Are we a church that is seeking to be an example for other churches so that we might help to create in our community churches that are vital and vibrant spiritual centers? Are we a church that welcomes children and encourages youth ministry? Are we a church that serves the underserved in our community, that reaches out to those who are poor and who are needy? Are we a church that is compassionate with one another and caring for each other? Are we a church that desires to live that Spirit-filled life and in so doing find ourselves engaging that through worship and through prayer and through study? What we realize is that God has great dreams for this congregation. God places in us vision. But what we realize is the road there, it's not going to be easy. As much as we'd like to just sit in the pews and let it come to us, it's going to require of us to stand up and be counted. It's going to require of us to walk the path that sometimes seems very difficult, and it's going to get us outside of our comfort zones. But if we aspire to dream the dream that God has for us, then it will require us to do that. We could say, we always do say, and we want to be able to say, we are a welcoming church. But we realize that welcoming is not a small committee of folks. It's not just the ushers and the greeters. Being a welcoming church is a church that has a heart for Jesus in such a way that we want to be able to share that through our loving actions. And so it's something that we do with everyone. It takes all of us to give off this idea that we are a welcoming church. When we do the greeting at the beginning, I know that people who are new to our church, they go, wow, that greeting, it sure went on for a long time. And people are walking up down the aisles and they're talking to each other. What is it? You know, and there are other people who are surprised that we do that, but it's a way for us to express that welcoming spirit. If we as a church want to be Spirit-led, as we talked about as individuals, we want to be a church that does that, then maybe it is going to require us to enter into a small group, to meet with other folks who are Spirit-driven as well, to pray together with other people in the church. If we want to be a church that is compassionate and caring for each other, then we send cards to each other when we're suffering and we're sorrowful. We find ourselves making meals for people just because we want to be that kind of church. Many of you know that Pam and I have been struggling with the losing of our dog the last few weeks. And I tell you, the cards and the letters that are coming to us have just been such a blessing. I didn't know that there were that many cards about dogs in the stores. But all of these cards are coming, and we're so blessed by each and every one. And I'm just so grateful and thankful that people take the time to write a little note, to tell me their story about their life together with their pet, and then share that with me as a way to bring Pam and I a sense of comfort and peace. And I realize that it takes time to do that, to go to the store and to write the note and to put it in the mail and to send it to us. And yet people are doing that, not just for their pastor, they do it for each other in this church. If we're going to do that, if we're going to be that kind of church, then it will require us to walk a harder road. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. It's going to take some sense of stepping outside of our comfort zones. But if we can do that and we can become that, what we come to discover is that God's vision inside of us become reality. If we want to be a church that's serving the poor and the needy in the community, we want to be able to say that it's something that we are doing together. We may not be the ones who are on the front line serving the meal, but we are supporting it with our prayers. We're supporting it through our gifts. We're supporting it by helping to cook the food, but not maybe necessarily being the ones who serve it. But find that that is something that we are called to be about as a congregation, and realize that it's not just a small committee of folks or just a few people in our church. It's all of us. It's everything that we are about. When people come to the church as members, and one of the things that we articulate together in fellowship is that we support the church. As United Methodists, we're asked to support the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And that allows us to find an avenue through which we can support the ministry of the church so that what God aspires for us can be something that we can achieve together. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about stewardship, and really the stewardship question for us is, what is God's vision for us as Blaine Memorial? What is it that God is doing here right now that is asking for us to step out in faith? How is it that God is challenging us to offer new prayers and presence and gifts and service and witness that enable Blaine to be all that it was created to be? We are a church that feels like God's presence moves in this place, and we feel a sense of vitality and a sense of joy in being in community. But what we realize is we want to continue to open that up and continue to move forward in faith and realize that be careful what you wish for, because sometimes the road there is very difficult. And once we get there, what we recognize is that even more, sometimes getting there means that we have to do even more to stay there and to continue to move forward. It's the challenge that we face every single year as we think about who we are as a church and how we envision. We're moving into a new year. We're coming to the end. It's hard to believe we're coming to the end of 2018, and we're moving into 2019. And so the question for us as Blaine Memorial is, what is it that God is going to do here in 2019 that is going to challenge us to step out in faith? And this call is one that is not meant for just young families or just children. It's meant for all of us as a church. Whatever age we are, whatever stage in life we are, there is something that we can do to support the mission and the vision of this church. And our prayer is that you all will join together with us. When we know that we're stepping out in faith and going beyond our comfort zones together, we realize that it is so much easier to do that in community than just by ourselves. And so my prayer is that we'd be able to live into that. One of the things that is happening this next week on Saturday is the ACRS dinner. We've been talking about the ACRS, Asian Counseling and Referral Service, community partners that we have just down on Martin Luther King, who are serving the Asian American community through counseling and recovery services, through culturally sensitive food and clothing, things that help to support the Asian American community here in Seattle. On Saturday, the gala dinner is happening, 45th anniversary, and we are being honored as one of the founding organizations. The first offices of ACRS were here in this building. And so we are being honored with an award. And whenever that happens to us at Blaine Memorial, I have to acknowledge that I feel a little bit of a mixed feeling. Because like most Japanese Americans, most Asian Americans, it's difficult to get an award because you feel so humbled by it, and you think, well, we haven't really done anything, you know, and you worry that, you know, you're being awarded something, and you go to it with a great deal of humility. And yet, the thing that also comes to me is that awards are helpful, too, because they remind us not just who we are, but also who we aspire to be. That as much as the award is something that's given to us for what we've done in the past, What's important for us to know is that the award is given to us as well so that we might look at the future and see the ways that we can live into that award and feel like we are earning that award not from what we've done in the past, but what we do in the future, and realize that that is truly the challenge for us as Blaine Memorial. And so as we get this award on Saturday, many of you are going to be able to go to the dinner on Saturday. As you go to the dinner, be proud to know that you're getting this award for what you've done in the past, but see it also as God's vision for us and who we can become in the future. How do we engage not just with HCRS, but other community partners to be able to serve our community in a way that would make a difference in this place? We feel challenged by that and know that it's something for us to live into. And my prayer is that as we continue to allow God's vision to move inside of us, that we would hear God continuing to draw us forth in faith. We might continue to feel God's inspiration saying, I know the road is difficult, but I'll be with you. I have prepared you. I have given you the task, but I've also given you as well the promise that I will never leave you alone and that I will guide you and be with you and show you the way. And when you find yourself weak and weary, when you find yourself worried about stepping out by yourself, just know that you have a community of people at Blaine Memorial who are stepping out with you. And as you step out together, you will know that you are serving my purposes in the world, and that as you are a beacon of light for the world, others will be able to follow. And as they follow, they will join with you to bring the light of Christ into the world. And so that is our call, and that is our vision. Like James and John, we hear that call and worry that maybe it is we're asking for too much, that the road is too hard, that the challenge is too great, that we aren't prepared for that, we aren't skilled for that, we don't have the means necessary to be able to do that. And yet, if you look at our church's history, we realize that again and again and again and again and again, we have been met by this challenge and we have risen above it and have found that God has continued to inspire us to move forward in faith. I know that God has great miracles yet to do through Blaine Memorial Church and through each one of us as individuals. And my prayer is that we would say, we're ready to step out. We know it's not going to be easy, but we do so because God has called us, and that God has promised to walk with us and to prepare us for the tasks that lie ahead. And so let us go forth in faith and give thanks to God for this call upon each one of us as individuals, but also as Blaine Memorial Church. Let's join together in prayer. Gracious God, we're grateful and thankful for the ways that your Spirit moves in our lives. Sometimes that Spirit, God, it comes to us in ways that comfort us. When we are feeling sad and afflicted, when we are feeling downcast, when we're struggling, your Spirit comes to us and reminds us that we are never alone. And yet, oh God, we recognize too that there are times that your Spirit comes to us and says, stand up, walk forward in faith, move forward and trust me. I call you into this. I've equipped you for the task. I've prepared you for the road, and I will be with you. The road will not be easy. The road ahead will be a challenge. But you can know that I have called you for this purpose, and I have prepared you to do the work that I need for the kingdom of God. And so, O God, we are thankful, O God, for this. We thank you, O God, for this call. And we realize, O God, that we cannot do this. We cannot move forward in faith without your promise, without the faith that undergirds us, with the strength that comes by the power of your Holy Spirit, by the gifts that you've given to us from our very birth. We know, O God, that you have called and prepared us for this purpose, and we ask that you would bless and be with us in this. When we are afraid, when we feel a sense of weariness, when we wonder if we can actually do what you've called us to do, help us, O God, to know that if we hear your call and we feel compelled by your Spirit, that you will be with us and that you will continue to work through us. And we may fall down. We may find ourselves struggling. And yet we know, O God, that as we continue to strive forward in faith, that you would continue to work through us in a powerful and miraculous way. We give thanks to you, O God, for this miracle. We give thanks to you for this call. And we give thanks, O God, for the Holy Spirit that continues to abide and bless and be with us as we step forward in faith and walk the hard road that leads to a new day. We pray these things, O God, to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.